Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, August 3rd, 2020. Coming up this hour,
negotiations on a huge COVID-19 relief bill are set to resume today.
The CEO of Microsoft talks to President Trump as the company tries to salvage its deal to buy TikTok.
Shares of HSBC and Societe Generale slump following their earnings reports.
A tropical storm watch has been issued for the tri-state area as Isa Isis approaches, plus the path for New York schools to reopen in the fall. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Aaron Judge hit two more home runs, and the Yankees again beat the Red Sox. The Mets were shut out in Atlanta.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by IBKR, the professional's gateway to the world's markets. Their clients enjoy lowest cost access to stocks, options, futures, forex, and fixed income from a single integrated account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
And futures are mixed this morning, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. It's 6:01 on Wall Street. S&P futures up 2.5 points, Dow futures down 13, NASDAQ futures are up 52, the 10-year Treasury down 5/32, the yield 0.54%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1% at $39.85 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.1%. John.
And we'll have more on the markets in just a minute. But first, the coronavirus has entered a new phase. That's the new warning from the doctor coordinating the White House response to the pandemic, Deborah Birx.
What we're seeing today is different from March and April. It is extraordinarily widespread. It's into the rural as equal urban areas. And to everybody who lives in a rural area, you are not immune or protected from this virus.
Dr. Birx spoke on CNN's State of the Union. Meantime, talks to keep protecting Americans from the economic fallout are close to going nowhere. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says Republicans have offered to keep $600 enhanced unemployment benefits going for another week while they negotiate, but staying that level through the pandemic would be too much.
There's no question in certain cases where we're paying people more to work, stay home than to work, that's created issues in the entire economy.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi calls that idea condescension.
We have been for the $600. They have a $200 proposal, which does not meet the needs of America's working families.
Speaker Pelosi and Secretary Mnuchin were on ABC's This Week, heard here on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, John, thank you. And we have this headline, crossing the Bloomberg, Google to invest $450 million to buy a 6.6% ownership in ADT. ADT shares are up 8% in early trading. Meanwhile, in other deal news, the Japanese owner of 7-Eleven convenience stores had agreed to buy Marathon Speedway gas stations for $21 billion. 7&I is betting that an expanded U.S. footprint will deliver growth in the midst of the pandemic.
Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella has spoken with President Trump about a move to buy TikTok's operations in the U.S. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
Microsoft is looking to salvage the deal after President Trump said he'd ban the app. A statement said talks will be completed by September 15th. If the deal goes through, Microsoft would own TikTok in the United States, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Other American investors could take stakes. Microsoft pledged to add more security and privacy protection. No citizens' data would be stored outside the country. And if a deal does get done, does it set a precedent? In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Microsoft shares are up 2% in early trading.
Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Michael Pompeo says the Trump administration will announce measures shortly against a broad array of Chinese-owned software deemed to pose national security risks.
President Trump has said enough, and we're going to fix it. And so he will take action in the coming days with respect to a broad array of national security risks that are presented by software connected to the Chinese Communist Party.
And Pompeo made the comments on Fox.
In Europe, earnings are out from HSBC and Societe Generale. Let's get the very latest from Bloomberg's Ewan Potts in our London bureau. Ewan.
Good morning, John and Karen. A warning from HSBC today. Europe's biggest bank says that loan losses could reach $13 billion this year as it battles the economic fallout from the pandemic. The London-based lender's speeding up reform of its global businesses after seeing profit drop by more than half. And in France, SocGen swings to a surprise 1.26 billion euro loss. The bank taking a charge at its trading unit. Structured products were hit for a second straight quarter. Equities trading revenue dropping 80%. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Here in the U.S., it's another busy week for earnings, and Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
The flood continues this week with big companies in finance, manufacturing, energy, media, and healthcare scheduled to report their latest quarterly results. Tobias Lefkovich is chief U.S. equity strategist at Citigroup Global Markets.
We're looking for earnings for this year in the 125 range and then 150 next year. Consensus for next year is 164. And a survey we did in late June of over 140 institutions suggested that 75% of them believe that 164 is too high.
Among this week's closely watched earnings reports will be Uber, BP, AIG, MetLife, The Walt Disney Company, News Corp, Humana, and Bristol-Myers Squibb. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thanks, Charlie. The big report of the week will come on Friday when the government issues the monthly jobs report. Economists are forecasting July unemployment will drop closer to 10%. That's the high watermark of the last recession. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
Payroll growth last month probably topped 1 million, a hefty gain, but less than May or June. The labor market is deep in the red considering April's record drop of almost 21 million jobs. As of mid-July, 17 million Americans were on unemployment rolls. Also on this week's data calendar, a variety of factory reports, all expected to signal a partial comeback. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. And in Europe, UK manufacturing grew at the fastest pace in almost 3 years in July as the nation's lockdown eased. Again, we had that headline crossing the Bloomberg, Google to invest $450 million to buy a 6.6% ownership in ADT. And ADT shares are jumping in early trading. S&P futures are higher up 4 points, Dow futures down 6. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. And let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much, sir. Florida's East Coast is getting heavy rain from Tropical Storm Isaias, with state officials dealing with surging cases of the coronavirus. The storm weakened from a hurricane to a tropical storm Saturday, but still hit Florida with heavy rain and flooding. Isaias is forecast to be near hurricane strength by the time it reaches the Carolinas. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper.
The COVID-19 pandemic remains a threat, and preparations may take longer and look a little different. We can stay safe from the storm and the virus if we're ready.
Governor Andrew Cuomo says New York City area residents should be prepared for heavy winds and rain from the storm tomorrow. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin has more on the impact of Isaias in the tri-state area.
Michael, the National Weather Service put the area under a flash flood watch from 6 a.m. tomorrow morning through 6 a.m. Wednesday. We're also under a tropical storm watch. Contrary to what the Hurricane Center is saying this morning, this is a very disorganized weather system. We had higher winds and thunderstorms yesterday outside of Albany than we had along the coast of Florida yesterday due to the storm. The big threat is rain. It's going to depend exactly where it tracks because the heaviest rain will fall west of the track. Now, right now, it looks like parts of the tri-state area could see 1 to 3 inches of rain tomorrow into tomorrow night. Good news is the weather improves Wednesday. Michael?
Thank you very much, Rob. New York City unveiled an outline to reopen its public schools in the fall. However, Governor Andrew Cuomo is not happy, saying the plan was submitted late and without specifics. He says parents and teachers remain concerned about safety and quality control.
Just because the school district says we're open does not mean students are going to go.
Last Friday, Mayor Bill de Blasio said New York City must keep its COVID-19 infection rate below 3% in order for schools to reopen and stay open. Federal authorities are sounding the alarm about the potential for a well-timed ransomware attack that could block access to voter registration data and paralyze critical election operations in November. NASA completed a triumphant return to U.S. space travel as SpaceX's Dragon capsule with a two-man crew splashed down into the Gulf of Mexico. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's coming up on 610 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. With the virus spreading through first the Marlins, now the Cardinals, there is talk of scrapping the baseball season that just began. Yankees certainly do not want that. They're 7-1. They just swept the Red Sox. Dramatic win last night in the Bronx just after the Yanks tied the game in the eighth inning. They went ahead.
Barnes to Judge. Curveball. Fly ball. Deep left field. Way back there. Aaron Judge. Adios, amigo. Oh, is he hot. His second home run of the night. Aaron Judge is guilty of putting the Yankees into the lead with his second home run of the night. A bomb into the night. It is 9-7 New York.
And at the final, Ricky Ricardo, the call, WFAN. Judge, the first Yankee since Alex Rodriguez in 07 to homer in five straight games. And last night he hit a three-run shot in the second inning and that two-run blast in the eighth. Yanks play the Phillies tonight. It's the Phillies' first game in over a week. Another Met loss in Atlanta. They had 10 hits, but no runs. Lost 4-0. Their fifth loss in a row. They've only scored one run over the last two. During yesterday's game, the drama concerned Yoenis Cespedes. He was missing, didn't show up for the game. As it turns out, he's not showing up for any more games. Cespedes opting out of playing, but he didn't bother to tell anyone. In Orlando, Nets beat the Wizards 118-110, a win that will go a long way towards getting Brooklyn into the playoffs. Caris LeVert, 34 points. Joe Harris had 27. Philadelphia Eagles coach Doug Peterson has tested positive for the virus. Justin Thomas won the golf in Memphis, now ranked number one in the world heading into this week's PGA Championship. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, thanks, John. For New York City's Legion of Runners, the mass starts might be gone, but not the races. That's because virtual racing is booming. The New York City Marathon, which canceled the race because of COVID-19, expects record numbers to sign up for its virtual event. Now, entrants can run the virtual race anytime from October 17th through November 1st anywhere in the world. Runners will have to chart their own courses and figure out critical logistics. This is Bloomberg. And the sports report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we continue to watch shares of ADT this morning up more than 38% in early trading. Google to make a $450 million investment in ADT in exchange for shares of a newly created Class B common stock. European stocks are higher this morning as positive economic data counters pessimism over a resurgence of COVID-19 cases. While U.S. stock index futures, they're a bit mixed, with S&P futures up 3.5 points, Dow futures down 12, NASDAQ futures up 56. The DAX in Germany is up 1.5%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 0.54%, the yield on the 2-year 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.3% or 52 cents at $39.75 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $19.86.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1739 against the dollar. British pound 1.3036 and the yen 105.74. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Florida's East Coast is getting heavy rain from Tropical Storm Isaias. Isaias is forecast to be near hurricane strength by the time it reaches the Carolinas. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and White House negotiators are still far apart on a new coronavirus relief plan to restore a $600 per week jobless benefit that expired last week. Talks will resume today. Nobel Peace Prize winner John Hume has died after a short illness, according to a statement from his family. Hume was one of the chief architects of the 1998 Good Friday Agreement that ended the conflict among paramilitary groups and British security forces in Northern Ireland. John Hume was 83. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Red Sox. The Mets lost to the Braves. The Orioles and A's won. The Giants lost. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Wizards. The Celtics won. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up on 620 at Wall Street, we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, is it still risk on for investors? Let's bring in our next guest. He's Ben Ammons, Managing Director, Global Macro Strategy at Medley Global Advisors. Ben, thanks for being with us again. Appreciate it. Are we still in a bullish phase for the markets? This is the equity markets.
Good morning, John. Thank you very much for having us. Still is a bullish phase because, you know, there is a fair bit of momentum in the stock market because of the technology strength. I don't think that will abate that easily. Obviously, this week will be very important in terms of U.S. data. And we're seeing overnight that the purchasing manager index data in, was in Asia or Europe is relatively good, right? It's not like a contraction happening, really. So people are still looking at an economy that has slowed down, but it's not a maybe severe contraction with that GDP number showed on Friday for the second quarter. So there's still a bullish phase happening.
Okay, and to be specific about those GDP reports from the U.S. and Europe, bad, but in the rearview mirror.
In the rearview mirror, of course, historically bad, and that was the effect of the shutdown. We can look forward to a rebound, and again, I think the data that we have had over the last 2 months has shown that. It's just that this week will be more about, like, well, is this apparent slowdown that everybody's talking about? You know, the real-time indicators on the ground are showing slowdown because of the resurgence of the virus. Is that slowdown really appearing now in this important data, let's say ISM that comes out this morning, or later on the non-ISM this week, and then, of course, payrolls at the end of the week?
Aside from those higher frequency data points, on Friday we're going to get the jobs report in the United States. What's the expectation there?
So the expectation is about 1.5 million plus of new jobs added. That's down from 4.8 previously. But, you know, you have to take notice of the jobless claims that the last 2 weeks or so has seen a slow trend upwards. At the same time, we also have to continue strength in the regional PMI data, and that includes actually an employment component. So I think the job number will be strong on Friday, but it's not going to be like another 5 million added or so. So this consensus number, 1.5 million, that may well be in the ballpark of what we can expect.
Ben, you mentioned that we're in a bullish phase largely driven by the strength of technology. Does that give rise to any concern about the breadth of the market?
It does, John, because, you know, if it's all driven by a handful of major companies, and then in addition to, let's say, smaller companies in the NASDAQ that have seen a tremendous amount of return since March, then the other part of the economy, what we call the reopening, or, you know, what business was used to be, that's really struggling. And then those companies, which are still going, some of them are going to report, that does give you a bit of a pause here, like this reopening is stalling. And if the economy is just functioning on one part but not on the other, then you can be a bit concerned about the breadth of it. So, you know, you would like to see more participation for this rally. So I think, you know, we may not be in a major rally from here just yet, until the virus is better under control and we can keep the economy really open on a more sustained basis.
I want to switch to some Fed questions right now. Is the Federal Reserve in the United States going to add to its balance sheet?
Yeah, it is adding, of course, because the QE, or what you call asset purchases, if you will, is ongoing. So the question there, too, is that, you know, the slowdown that we're going through, you know, what would that lead to action in September? A lot of discussion about the framework review as well. Of course, they can do more, and a lot of it is in the works, like these lending programs that they've extended to December that have seen very little participation so far. You know, maybe there could be changes there to entice more participation. But there's more to do. But I think it does depend a lot on as we go through August into September, how the economy interacts with the virus. So that has become a real key component that was in the statement. So I think that's what it depends upon. If we get the virus more under control, then I think the views will change about, you know, if the Fed will actually do more or not.
Ben, just a quick question on the dollar. Is this a story of rate differentials at this point? Got about 30 seconds left.
It is rate differentials, particularly real interest rates, that have declined in the U.S. a lot, so that's contributed lots of dollar weakness, but it's also strength in other parts of the globe as they reopen their economy, and those currencies have strengthened up to the dollar since March. So I think that's the story there.
All right, Ben, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Ben Ammons, Managing Director, Global Macro Strategy at Medley Global Advisors. And green on the screen as far as the futures. Dow futures now up 17 points. The S&P futures, they're up 8. The Nasdaq E-mini futures, 81 points higher. 10-year yield right now, just 54 basis points, 0.54. This is Bloomberg. And the Bloomberg 1130 forecast, there is a tropical storm watch in effect for the area. Also a flash flood watch that starts tomorrow morning right through Wednesday morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm helping clients to be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Withum.com.
And it is 6:30 on Wall Street. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The White House is warning the coronavirus is entering a new phase with, quote, extraordinarily widespread transmission across urban and rural areas. But when it comes to talks on another round of fiscal relief, it appears to be more of the same. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows tells CBS's Face the Nation he's not optimistic on reaching a deal with Democrats.
We still have a long ways to go. I can tell you that we've spent the last 3 days, actually last 4 days, trying to get to some kind of consensus, at least to start negotiating.
As for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's timetable, she sells ABCs this week.
The fact is it will be close to an agreement when we have an agreement.
This week in Face the Nation can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Microsoft is trying to salvage a deal to buy the U.S. operations of TikTok. The CEO, Satya Nadella, spoke to President Trump about how to secure the administration's blessing to buy the popular but besieged Chinese music video app. Microsoft shares are up 2%.
Google is investing $450 million for a 6.6% stake in security systems company ADT. Shares of ADT are up more than 35% in early trading.
7&i, this is the Japanese owner of 7-Eleven convenience stores, has agreed to buy Marathon Speedway gas stations for $21 billion.
Shares of HSBC are down more than 5%. The lender is warning loan losses may reach $13 billion this year as it battles the economic fallout from the coronavirus pandemic.
And Societe Generale has swung to a surprise $1.5 billion loss because of charges at the French lender's trading unit. The stock is down more than 3%.
UK manufacturing grew at the fastest pace in almost 3 years in July as the nation's lockdown eased.
And here in the U.S., the financial research firm Markit issues its latest assessment of American manufacturing later this morning.
Futures this morning are higher and extending their gains. S&P futures up 8 points, Dow futures up 21, NASDAQ futures up 79, the 10-year Treasury down 5/32nd, yield 0.54%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.10%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 1% at $39.86 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
And it is 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. Florida's east coast is getting heavy rain from tropical storm Isaias. Isaias weakened from a hurricane to a tropical storm, but it still hit Florida with heavy rain and flooding. Isaias is forecast to be near hurricane strength by the time it reaches the Carolinas. Governor Ron DeSantis warned Floridians to take the storm seriously. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper agrees.
We know how to plan, prepare, and respond when it's over. Nothing about that has changed. But this time, we're going to have to do it with a mask on.
Isaias is about to impact the tri-state area. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Good morning, Michael. The National Weather Service has issued a flash flood watch for the tri-state area from 6 a.m. tomorrow morning through 6 a.m. Wednesday morning. There's also a tropical storm watch in effect, but I do not expect tropical storm winds sustained across the area. This is a very weak and disorganized weather system that's eventually going to head our way. The big threat will be rainfall. About 1 to 3 inches may fall over parts of the tri-state area. Heaviest rain will fall west of the track, so that's probably much of northern New Jersey and also Rockland and Orange counties. And it looks like rainfall will be lighter east of the city out over across Connecticut, Long Island. We should see a big improvement in the weather by Wednesday. Michael?
Thank you very much, Rob. Thousands are evacuated because of California wildfires, and some crews are battling flames in dangerous, difficult terrain. Firefighters in the air and on the ground are trying to protect homes in Riverside County in the south near Palm Springs. Marines have called off their search for 8 people after their landing craft sank off the Southern California coast. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
All 8 are presumed dead. They were on a training exercise. 8 Marines were rescued, but 1 later died, and 2 are in critical condition still. The 26-ton tank-like craft took on water, quickly sank in hundreds of feet, making it difficult to reach. They ranged in age from 19 to early 30s, and all were wearing combat gear, including body armor and flotation vests. Over the course of the search, dozens of helicopters and ships searched more than 1,000 square nautical miles of sea. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
NASA completed a successful return to U.S. space travel as SpaceX's Dragon capsule splashed down into the Gulf of Mexico with 2 astronauts. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. And we are being brought to you by Burden, Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
All right, John, would have been interesting to see how many home runs Aaron Judge would have hit if this was a 162-game season. He's got 6 in his last 5 games. The Major League record for consecutive games with a home run is 8. Dale Long, Don Mattingly, Ken Griffey Jr. Last night at the stadium, Judge, 3-run homer in the 2nd inning, then a game-winning 2-run blast to snap a tie in the 8th. Yanks finished a sweep of the Red Sox 9-7. The Mets slugger, Pete Alonso, meanwhile batting just 175 yesterday in Atlanta. He went 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts. Mets shut out by the Braves 4-0. The Mets' 5th loss in a row. More interesting than yesterday's game was the Yoenis Cespedes mystery. He was missing, didn't show up for the game. They opened his hotel room, found all his belongings were gone. Late in the game, the Mets finally got a call from Cespedes' agent. He's decided to opt out of playing the rest of the season. The Mets' general manager, Brody Van Wagenen.
It was surprising without question, and at the same point we have to go forward, and we have to not allow anything to keep us from going forward and attempting to win every game and not have distractions from it.
Clearly the end of Cespedes was Mets' career. He had a big contract, made a lot of money, didn't play much. He'll be a free agent. NBA in Brooklyn, the Nets trailed going to the fourth quarter but beat the Wizards 118-110. They got 34 points from Caris LeVert, 27 from Joe Harris. NHL in Toronto, big game for the Rangers today. A noon faceoff against Carolina, who won the opener to the best-of-5 series on Saturday. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, John. And some breaking news. We get earnings from Clorox. During this pandemic, a lot of people have been using Clorox products. Their first quarter earnings. Well, first they promoted the CEO, Linda Rendell. Clorox fourth quarter, that's their fourth quarter of fiscal year. The earnings, $2.41 a share. A huge beat. The estimate was for $1.99 a share. And auto sales expected to have recovered further in July from the lockdown lows recorded this spring. Let's get that story this morning from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Most major automakers don't officially report monthly sales figures anymore, but other industry sources continue to offer up their best estimates. TrueCar's ALG subsidiary is forecasting new vehicle sales of just under 1.2 million in July. And while that's still down 18% from a year ago, it is a marked improvement from the 48% drop recorded in April. Ward's Automotive is also expected to report an improvement, with vehicles rolling off the lot at an annual rate of 14 million, up from just over 13 million in June. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Larry. 6:39 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Green Report. And here's Tom Busby.
Per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, or PFAs, also known as forever chemicals, are found in a ton of products, carpeting, nonstick cookware, firefighting foam, and more, because they don't break down in water and they're stain resistant. But they're also found in pizza boxes, fast food wrappers, and plastic wrap you see around fruits and vegetables at the supermarket. But maybe not for long. That's because a coalition of environmental advocates called the Toxics in Packaging Clearinghouse is urging states from Connecticut to California to ban PFAs in all forms, not just food packaging. The group cites CDC findings that say certain PFAs can accumulate in the body, causing higher blood pressure in pregnant women, changes in liver enzymes, even cancer. There's opposition from the American Chemistry Council, though, which says a ban would impact product safety, recycling, and reductions made in greenhouse gas emissions. This is a Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Tom Busby.
All right, thanks, Tom. The pandemic hasn't stopped many of the planet's wealthiest dynasties from adding to their fortunes. The 25 richest families on the planet have a combined net worth of $1.4 trillion, according to Bloomberg Billionaires Index, and Bloomberg's Tom Metcalf reports.
The richest family on the planet is the Waltons, behind retailer Walmart. They've added $25 billion in the past 12 months. That's about $1 billion every 2 weeks, and puts them $100 billion ahead of the Mars family, who are behind M&M's and Snickers. Other families on the ranking include Europe's O'Leary Hoffman clan, behind the drug maker Roche. The biggest faller was the Belgian families behind beer giant AB InBev. In London, Tom Metcalf, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Tom. Some other stories we're following. The oldest U.S. department store chain is seeking bankruptcy protection. Lord and Taylor filed for Chapter 11 protection after a turnaround effort failed. The company has 38 stores. The fashion startup La Tote bought Lord & Taylor last year from Saks Fifth Avenue owner Hudson's Bay. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are advancing as positive economic data counters pessimism over a resurgence of COVID-19 cases. U.S. stock index futures are edging higher, reversing a decline, with Microsoft rising in early trading as it tries to salvage a deal for the U.S. operations of TikTok. And as Google says, it'll make a $450 million investment in ADT in exchange for shares of a newly created Class B common stock. S&P futures up about 14 points. Dow futures up 71. NASDAQ futures up 91. The DAX in Germany up 2.1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 0.54%. Yield on the 2-year 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 33 cents at $39.94 a barrel. COMEX gold little change at $19.85.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1724 against the dollar. The yen 105.99. Microsoft is up 1.7% in early trading. ADT is up more than 52%, and Clorox reported fourth quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a swift bipartisan agreement on a new coronavirus stimulus package seems unlikely as House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin dug in on their opposing positions yesterday. Democratic leaders and the White House held a round of productive meetings on Saturday, but they reported that they remain far apart on an agreement. Meanwhile, a member of the coronavirus task force, Dr. Deborah Burke, announced that the U.S. is in a new stage, saying the virus is far more widespread in both rural and urban areas than it initially was early in the pandemic. Tropical storm Isaias is forecast to be near hurricane strength by the time it reaches the Carolinas. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Red Sox. The Mets lost to the Braves. The Orioles and A's won. The Giants lost. NBA action, the Nets beat the Wizards. The Celtics won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Hi, Michael. Thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include talks to break an impasse over the new virus relief package become increasingly urgent this week. And the Trump administration will announce measures shortly against a broad array of Chinese-owned software. Representative Karen Bass, who's among the potential running mates being considered by Joe Biden, coming under attack from Republicans, and a retired Army Brigadier General and Fox News commentator has withdrawn from consideration for a top Pentagon position. Let's dive deeper into these stories this morning with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning to you. Let's begin with the relief talks. They're stalled, so what's the holdup?
Well, there's a lot of disagreement. There's disagreement over everything from the size of the package to when and how and under what terms unemployment benefits should be extended. In many ways, I'm thinking back to this time a week ago. It doesn't seem like the two sides are any closer together. If anything, they may be even further apart given the acrimony that's developed over the course of these negotiations.
And the thing that has changed is that the additional benefits have run out for millions of Americans.
That's right. And so those benefits ran out on Friday. And so really one of the dynamics in play there is that Republicans have been pushing to move separately just on those unemployment benefits. And Democrats thus far have resisted that. They want to move a more broad package, I think, because they realize that if they do act on the unemployment benefits alone, that they lose a lot of leverage in terms of getting any other stimulus passed potentially even before, you know, certainly before the recess that's coming up, maybe even before the end of the year. And so I think they're trying to put their pressure on Republicans to act on a larger package. But so far, neither side is blinking.
Is there any sign of hope at this point?
Well, I mean, I think that the pressure is going to and the urgency is going to continue to increase as we see the days slip by. And the Senate, at least, is looking at breaking on Friday for its annual August recess. And so I think there is going to be a lot of pressure to get something done this week. Now, in congressional terms, it's early. It's Monday morning. I would expect, you know, some sort of a deal, if there is one in the offing, to not come together until, you know, maybe even Thursday sometime.
All right, the next story, the Trump administration announcing measures shortly against a broad array of Chinese-owned software. Presumably this is, what, a national security issue?
Yeah, that's how the Trump administration has cast it, is they say that, you know, these Chinese companies, you know, TikTok, obviously chief among them, the most high-profile among them, pose a risk to national security. And so I think that what we're likely to see is some sort of a measure, perhaps this week, or a set of measures taking aim at those Chinese companies. This obviously comes on the heel of U.S. action against Huawei, the Chinese telecoms firm. And it's important to keep it in the context of the broader Trump administration messaging around China generally. Obviously, that's ramped up significantly since the onset of the coronavirus, where we've seen Trump administration officials blame China for the virus. And I think that that has been something that certain members of Trump's team see as potentially a winning campaign strategy this election year. And so I would expect the pressure on China only to increase as we get closer to the election.
Okay, the next story, Republicans attacking one of the choices that Joe Biden might make for running mate. That's Karen Bass. What's the problem?
So Karen Bass apparently, you know, visited Cuba when she was younger, visited it again during the Obama administration, and she's now being accused by Marco Rubio and other Republicans of being essentially a Fidel Castro sympathizer. And that really has the potential to resonate with voters because it plays into the Republican argument that the Democratic orthodoxy amounts to some kind of communism or socialism. And so I think that's why we're seeing this attack come to the fore right now, as Biden is preparing to potentially name his running mate in the coming week or so. And so it's not surprising in that context. I think Karen Bass has been trying to handle it by essentially saying that it was a position she held in her youth, but one that may have modified since then.
All right. Kathleen, thanks a lot. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. You can also follow the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. NASA has completed a triumphant return to U.S. space travel. SpaceX's Dragon capsule splashed splashed down into the Gulf of Mexico with two astronauts. That capped the first mission in which American astronauts flew to the International Space Station on an American spacecraft since the space shuttle program ended in 2011. It was also SpaceX's first manned mission into space. Microsoft is trying to salvage a deal to buy the U.S. operations of TikTok. CEO Satya Nadella spoke to President Trump about how to secure the administration's blessing to buy the popular but besieged Chinese music video app. The president had floated the idea of an outright ban on TikTok on national security grounds. Now, Bloomberg's learned the White House has given the companies 45 days to hash out a deal. Apple is on the acquisition trail. Bloomberg News has learned the company's buying MobiWave. That's a startup with technology that could transform iPhones into mobile payment terminals. MobiWave's technology lets shoppers tap their credit card or smartphone on another phone to process a payment. The system works with an app and doesn't require hardware beyond an NFC chip, which iPhones have included since 2014. And that's the NJIT STEM report. John.
All right. Thanks, Karen. And it's time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. The pandemic has shut down some small businesses for good. Others are pivoting. Still others are thriving. We first talked to Greg Masenko at the end of March. He owns Billabong. This is a surf and apparel store in Shrewsbury, New Jersey. Now, at the time, he could only do online orders. Business was down something like 90%. We're circling back now with Greg. And tell us what business has been like since you were able to open the doors again.
So from the day we opened up in, I guess, the first week of June, sales have been through the roof. So for the last month and a half, 2 months, it has been very, very good.
To what do you attribute that?
Well, it would appear that people feel that the beach is the safest place on earth right now. And so they all went surfing. They all did all the board sports that we sell, skateboarding, skimboarding, bodyboarding, stand-up paddle surfing. Surfing is through the roof. Wetsuit sales are incredible. So all these things you can do at the beach because they weren't able to do the team sports at home. The pools were closed, and they all went to the beach.
It was just pent-up demand from being in lockdown, I suppose, was a big part of it.
Yes, absolutely. So and it's a healthy sport, so they're all at the beach. And the biggest problem right now we're having, it sounds like a good problem, but it's not, is that the supply chain is bad and we can't get any product.
So how do you overcome that?
You know, you network, you call in your favorites and your old-time friends and see what you can do. Surfboard sales are really, really scarce right now. The sales are good, but the product is very, very scarce. A lot of the stuff that was being made overseas is taking its time to get here because they were closed. So the big containers are a month late. And so by the time a lot of this stuff gets here, it's going to be the end of the summer, which is kind of bad. So we're going to be out of product here within weeks.
All right, Greg, thanks a lot. Greg Masenko of Billabong in Shrewsbury, New Jersey. We're going to continue bringing you stories of small businesses trying to survive and thrive in the face of the pandemic every day at this time right here on Bloomberg Radio. I'm John Tucker. That's your Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures up 17 points this morning. Dow futures up 95. NASDAQ futures up about 100. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz is straight ahead. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.